It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott's Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Welcome in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Here we are, Season 10, Episode 5, Louisiana Tech coming off a big road victory to get conference play going Saturday night in Bowling Green against Western Kentucky, 23-22. As always, we'd love to have your calls, your texts on the Fairway Carts hotline at 1-888-993-7762. Tonight I'm joined in studio by a good friend of mine, a guy that deserves a lot of credit for helping me get through college, Beck Haynes. How you doing tonight, Beck?
Hey, Ben, I'm glad to be here. I'm excited for what we got going on tonight. Looking forward to who we got calling in. I think it'll be a great show.
Oh, it definitely is. You know, we got a lot to talk about tonight, definitely with a big victory with Tech having. Now they'll go on the road this weekend against South Carolina. But first things first, kind of tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, Ben, I am your average Tech fan. And let me clarify, when I say that, I don't mean my love for Tech. I think that's well above average. It's my Tech sports knowledge and more specifically just my sports knowledge in general that is average.
Well, you know, I can't argue with that. But you definitely are. You love Louisiana Tech, and we're happy to have you on tonight. I'm excited to have you in studio, and looking forward to a great show. Just to kind of get things started, I don't know if all of you Bulldog fans heard a little minor detail from the hardwood. Former Duncan Dog Eric McCree signed a contract last night, sometime yesterday with the Miami Heat. So that's definitely some great news for him after a strong three-year career for the Duncan Dogs. Coming up later in the show, actually in the next segment, we'll have Austin Brown on from SB, a contributor for SB Nation, contributor for Mid-Major Madness. We'll be talking a little bit about Conference USA football. I know the conference kind of off to a little bit of a slow start, you know, when you look outside of Tech, UTSA's playing well. They had a big victory over Baylor last week. You look at Marshall, they look to maybe kind of have things turned around. Who really knows? Old Dominion's 2-1, just got thumped by 30 at home against North Carolina. Not something I really expected. It was on Old Dominion's home field in Norfolk. Always a tough place to play, as we saw back in 2014 when Tech went to Norfolk and was upset. But, yeah, a lot to get into with Conference USA with Austin. That'll be at 6:15. Then for the next two segments after that, we'll kind of recap Western Kentucky. It was a big victory for the Bulldogs, Jonathan Barnes, with the 21-yard game winner. Beck, give us a little bit of your thoughts on the Tech-Western Kentucky game Saturday night.
Ben, it was fun to watch. You know, just from watching the last few years and how high-powered Tech's offense was, it was good to see Bonnet and the deep ball play come back into the Tech's repertoire, because I'd missed that. The first two games, we didn't get any of that. And so I was really glad to see Bonnet come through in that capacity and to see Ferguson get some sacks and get in there. And that's somebody that, you know, I've been told to watch and have enjoyed watching, and I know that he's going to be a high draft pick. So it was fun to watch. I was glad to see us get back in kind of the old ways, and it was just good to see a good grind, hard-fought win, and to have Jonathan Barnes kick that field goal at the end of the game to seal it. That was awesome. It was fun to watch.
Yeah, I think you say that very nicely when you say Tech grinded it out. You know, that was a game where Tech struggled throughout three quarters, like we'll talk about in a little while, but they really struggled. You know, Western Kentucky kind of shut things down outside of the long deep ball to Rashid Bonnet in the second quarter. Tech struggled. I know they didn't get their first down till late in the first quarter. So it was nice to see Tech get that road victory against Western Kentucky. We'll recap the whole Western Kentucky game at 6:30. At 6:45, we'll take a look at South Carolina. The Gamecocks from Columbia, South Carolina. The Dogs will head to Williams-Brice Stadium this Saturday. It's going to be a tall task for the Dogs when they head up there. Will Muschamp, in his second year at South Carolina, he got the Gamecocks back to a bowl game last year. I think they played in the Birmingham Bowl. Young quarterback, I know Coach Holt spoke about today during his press conference, how impressed he is with Jake Bentley. Beck, what do you think Tech really needs to do this week? Obviously, it's a tough environment to play against South Carolina, but what are you looking to see this week from the Dogs?
Well, anytime you go in and play an SEC school, I think it's going to be tough, and just even the hype around that itself can be enough to be intimidating for people. I know for me watching, I always have a little anxiety about that. So I think if with the new setup with Bonnet on the outside and Teddy Veal in the slot, I think that we can get things going and move the ball a little better. Jamar seems to have settled in a little bit, so I'm looking forward to seeing it, and I'll be watching for sure.
Yeah, it'll be an exciting game against South Carolina. At 7 o'clock, we'll have former Louisiana Tech quarterback Luke McCown, one of the best quarterbacks in Tech history. Obviously, you have Terry Bradshaw. You have Tim Brette. I think Luke could slide right in that third spot. Had a nice 13-year NFL career. I know he's still pursuing the dream. I think he's 36 years of age. I know you're excited about this interview, Beck.
Yes, I am. I have some close friends that know Luke personally, and I just always hear how good of a guy he is, and it's always good to see him come back. And, you know, we see him at basketball games and at football games, and I know he brings his family, and he's just a really good guy, and I'm looking forward to just hearing from him. I would love to talk to him. So
yeah, it'll be nice to hear from him. You mentioned him coming back. I know he was in town for the Mississippi State game. I think we'll have a chance to ask him a little bit about the environment. One segment last week, we got to talk a little bit about the environment inside Joe Ie Stadium against Mississippi State. I think you would agree from a fan perspective, it was one of the best you've ever seen.
It was indeed. It was packed, and you know, I've always kind of heard just as a joke that, you know, players that played here 20 years ago, when they were getting toured around the facilities, they were telling them that they were getting ready to do a new end zone project and that kind of stuff. So I bet it's neat for those players to come back and to see it actually happen and to see what it's like now. And a lot of them, that's been partly their investment in the university as well. And so I can imagine that's extremely rewarding for people like Luke and some of those guys to come back and see that.
Oh, it has to be extremely rewarding. When you look back at Luke's career, you look back at Josh Scobie's career there, obviously part of some high-powered offenses at Tech. I know Luke actually won the WAC championship in Tech's first year in the conference. So it'll be pretty cool to hear from him at 7 p.m. 7:15 to wrap up the show in the final segment. We'll hear from Chris Clark, GamecockCentral.com. He runs the Rivals site for South Carolina. Great guy. He'll have a lot of positive, a lot of, you know, negative takes on South Carolina. I know they had a rough one this week against Kentucky. They lose 23-13. I think bigger than losing the game might be that they lost their do everything all SEC performer. I don't know, maybe a dark horse Heisman candidate, Debo Samuel, on the outside with a broken ankle. He's going to miss the year. He's going to miss the year. He says he's out 5 to 6 weeks. Will Muschamp said he was out for the season, so we'll see. He's obviously not playing in the Tech game. That's all that really matters from a Tech perspective. On the year, Samuel already had 15 catches, 250 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 2 carries on the ground, 30 yards for another touchdown. He had 2 kick returns already for a touchdown. Pretty good news for Tech that Samuel's out this week.
Absolutely, and I think it's important that Tech went on the road this week and got that win. It gives me certainly more confidence going into South Carolina and hoping to get a victory there, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, it was nice to see. You know, you really don't know what to expect from a young football team. We talk so much about how Tech's inexperienced, how Tech doesn't really have, obviously, guys who have made a ton of starts offensively, especially. Jamar was only making his 4th career start, but he showed an incredible amount of poise. I know you and I were talking after Jamar threw that pick in the 4th quarter with, I think, a little over 3 minutes to go. Just from your perspective, what were your thoughts? I know my thoughts were, oh, kind of here we go again. We've seen this before.
Right, and that's, you know, it's kind of, you know, admittingly, I'm guilty of being like, oh, this is a Tech thing to do. And so towards the end of that game, when we started moving the ball a little better, Jamar was dialed in, and we were moving the ball, and the run game was better, and it was just I mean, it was that's what you want, you know, and to feel like you have a chance to win the game and get down to the end. And Jonathan Barnes, I mean, he's stone cold on the sideline, and I mean, it was awesome to watch. And then we had a couple big plays to get close to the goal line, and so that was encouraging to see. It didn't feel like we were moving, and then something bad happened like in the past. That's been a problem.
Yeah, and in Tech's weekly press conference today, a question was asked to Boston Scott, you know, were there a little nerves when Barnes went out there for the field goal to win it? And he said, absolutely not. You know, Barnes is clutch city. Yeah. And I think his numbers speak for himself when you look at a 7-for-7 in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter and in overtime. So he's as good of a kicker as Tech's seen in quite a while, outside of a good friend of ours, Matt Nelson.
Absolutely. Matt Nelson, one of the greats. And I think, you know, in a situation like that, it's easy for us to put ourselves in that situation and to think, you know, if I was kicking this ball, how nervous would I be? But that's what Jonathan Barnes lives for. That's what he wants. He wants the chance to go out there and win that game, and he took that chance and he nailed it. It was awesome.
Yeah, and you talk about the nerves that we would have if we were on the field. It obviously couldn't have helped with all the clock malfunctions, all the timeout. Did this timeout happen? Did this timeout happen? That Barnes had to go through what felt like 10 or 15 minute delay, but nonetheless, he was able to make the kick. Gives Tech a 1-0 record in Conference USA against the bell cow program of Conference USA, having won two consecutive Conference USA championships. But yeah, Chris Clark, Gamecock Nation, 7:15. You don't want to miss this. I had a chance to speak with Chris today. Fans in Columbia seem really excited about what Will Muschamp's been doing up there.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, we have a little bit of history with him and Jeff Driscoll, and so I think that at least draws me in a little bit, and so I'm looking forward to playing against a big-name coach like him, and, you know, it's always good to go in and get a win in a place like that, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. Before we get to our first timeout, one other thing I wanted to point out, Conference USA Players of the Week, defensively, Jalen Ferguson, the big 6'6", 270-pound defensive end, was named Conference USA Player of the Week. He didn't have any sacks throughout the first 2 weeks against Northwestern State and Mississippi State, but he showed up in a big way against Western Kentucky Saturday night with two sacks, both in the fourth quarter. He collected six tackles on the night, another two for loss. Then special teams. It's a no-brainer. Jonathan Barnes with a game winner, 21 yards away. Just seems like a little extra point, but he got the job done, so it's nice to see those guys get rewarded for their good play.
For sure, and like I said earlier, I was looking for Ferguson to get fired up, and you know, I watched the Northwestern game and was watching him closely, and he's just getting double, triple teamed, and I was looking for somebody else to really step up, and we, you know, in that game we didn't really. And so, to, you know, every team comes in knowing that Ferguson is our guy, and so for him to be able to bust through the double teams and get through and make some sacks and make a difference, that's it's encouraging to see for sure.
Yeah, and we're going to get to our first timeout. As always, you can text us or call us on the Fairway Carts hotline at 1-888-993-7762. You're listening to BTB Radio. We'll be back after the break.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name. Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road Side-by-Sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low-interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a bad boy buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I am your host, Ben Carlisle. Louisiana Tech defeats Western Kentucky 23-22 to get Conference USA play going on the right foot. We are now joined on the Fairway Carts hotline by SB Nation contributor, Mid-Major Madness contributor, Austin Brown. How are you doing tonight, Austin?
I'm doing well, Ben. How are you?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. All's well in Ruston after a big victory over Western Kentucky this weekend. Just first things first, kind of tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, like you said, I'm a contributor for SB Nation's Bid Major Madness. I also work for Crimson and Cream Machine, which covers Oklahoma sports. And I'm a very sad Baylor alumni this season. It's been a rough couple weeks. But you guys are certainly having a better season than my alma mater, so I'm excited to talk about some Tech football and really just everything going on in the league right now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. First things first, Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky matched up, I think Coach Holt said, for the third time in less than a year this past weekend. Tech obviously squeaked out a close victory. These are two of probably the prohibited favorites in the East and West divisions. Your thoughts on this past weekend between Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech?
I thought Tech showed a lot of grit. I mean, it takes a lot to, go on the road and do that. Through the first couple games, you'd seen them beat up on a pretty bad team, and then they got pretty well whooped by Mississippi State, but I don't think they're going to see anything like that again this year. But especially for Jamar Smith coming in, he doesn't have a ton of experience. I thought he played really well. I think he did enough to keep his team winning. Rush defense is still a little bit concerning to me. I know that's going to be an issue as they get deeper into conference play, but no, this is a huge win. I know a lot of people were picking Western Kentucky as one of the favorites in the conference, so to go on the road and do that, that's no small feat.
Yeah, Austin, with Western Kentucky being the conference champion the past few years, and we beat them at home, or Tech beat them at home last year, and then we lost on the road. Can you talk a little bit about the fall of Western Kentucky and what's changed from last year to this year and how they may not repeat this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what their issues are. I don't know if it's they got worse or just the rest of the conference has gotten better. But I think that if you look at the East, I think Marshall and FAU have both sort of passed them by. But I don't know. I think they're still competitive, but I think it's more the rest of the conference is taking a step forward versus Western Kentucky's just kind of been stagnant.
And you know, Austin, when we talk about Western Kentucky, kind of, you know, they've struggled out of the gate. Obviously, their offense is nowhere near what it was in 2016. They lost two of their top receivers. One, Tywan Taylor's off to the NFL. I think he's with the Titans. How much of it do you think is a product of kind of what happened to Southern Miss a year ago when they lost their coach to the NFL? Western Kentucky's lost their coach. Southern Miss had a senior quarterback, Nick Mullins. Western Kentucky has a senior quarterback, Mike White. Do you think it's just a little bit of a new face, a new way of doing things that the players might have an issue adjusting to?
Yeah, I think anytime you lose a coach, it definitely messes with your psyche. You know, I mean, he recruited most of the guys to come there. I know, I mean, Baylor's obviously going through the same thing when they're not doing quite as well as Western Kentucky even. But, yeah, I think that just every coach, you work with the players you have, but every coach has a slightly different system. So maybe the role you thought you were going to play on the team isn't what it was. Maybe guys are unhappy because the guy that they thought they were going to spend 4 years playing for took off. So I don't know. It's a combination of things, but there's always an adjustment period. It just depends on how well your guys are able to roll with it. And when you couple that with a new quarterback, it can oftentimes be too much to overcome.
And just to take a little bit deeper look into the eastern side of Conference USA, I know I heard you mention that you really feel like Marshall's taking a step forward. I heard you also say Florida Atlantic. That's a team that you think can do some damage on that side of the division with Western Kentucky struggling. I don't think by any means is Western Kentucky out of the East Division race, but what do you see maybe from Florida Atlantic, maybe from Marshall, that will maybe propel them ahead of Western Kentucky?
Yeah, I mean, outside of really the first half of the Navy game, Florida Atlantic, I think, has looked great. I mean, they went on the road against Wisconsin and put up a decent fight. They lost, but everybody thought they were going to get blown out in that game, and they didn't. I think they have a good, balanced offense. Lane Kiffin's known for his offensive prowess. He's known for some other things, but you look at what he did to Alabama. He made some pretty average quarterbacks great. Daniel Parr has had a pretty good year. I'm not world's biggest Kendall Briles fan. I just don't think he's a great offensive schemer. I think his play calling is pretty simple. But I don't know. I think they've got the talent. I don't know if their defense is there, but they're definitely a fun team to watch. They're a team that, if you're sleeping on them, can put up 50, 60 points in a game. And, I mean, if you look at Marshall, they're just another really balanced team. Chase Witten's had a pretty good year so far. I think he's all right. I think Marshall's going to have to lean more on their defense because I don't think they have the explosiveness that FAU has. But like you said, I definitely don't think Western Kentucky is out of the race, but I think that they're definitely facing an uphill climb if they want to repeat this year.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And looking more, a little more at Lane Kiffin, obviously, is the marquee hire in the conference. The national media has beat it like a dead horse. What can he do at FAU? How quick can he get out from FAU to get to a bigger program, maybe back to that Power 5 level that we know he yearns for? He obviously brought in a big-name quarterback in the offseason. Many of us are familiar with the Last Chance U highlighting East Mississippi Community College in our neck of the woods. He brought in DeAndre Johnson, former Florida State quarterback. I know he's brought in a couple more transfer. He brought in John Franklin III from Auburn. How do you think he's going to go about building his program? I mean, looking at the way he's done it right now, it looks like he's trying to turn things around in a hurry.
Yeah, he definitely, I think there is that sense of urgency here because a lot of people think that this, if it doesn't work there, I don't know if he's going to get another job. He might get a job as a coordinator, but I don't know if anybody's going to hire him as a head coach again. I mean, you look at just this entire football team and athletic department, it's sort of turned into the island of misfit toys. You got Howard Schnellenberger running the show, and then you got Lane Kiffin, who picked up Kendall Briles, who obviously had a not-so-glorious departure from Baylor. Clint Trickett's an interesting choice for tight ends coach. And then he picked up, it seems like, half the roster from Last Chance U. But, yeah, I don't know. This is the first time that I feel like a lot of people, maybe outside of CUSA fans, have ever cared about Florida Atlantic, but it seems like everybody does now. So he's bringing in a lot of transfers. I know they just got a quarterback from Oklahoma, too, who got kicked off the team. So he's basically saying, look, these guys that have the talent but maybe have the issues, I think I can win with them, and that's certainly a strategy. I don't know if this whole thing's going to blow up in his face when he just can't control all the off-the-field stuff if that resurfaces. But I think from a talent perspective, what he's done there is really impressive.
Yeah, it has been really impressive. Shifting over to the Western Division of Conference USA, I think most would agree this is the most competitive side when you look at Louisiana Tech. You look at UTSA under Frank Wilson. They're having an extremely strong season. I know they beat your alma mater, Baylor, in their first game of the year. Southern Miss looks like they're back up on the up climb. They're sitting at 2-1. North Texas hung tight with Iowa for a half. It was 14-14. But one school I really want to talk about first is UAB. Shut the program down for 3 years. Your thoughts on how long it'll take Bill Clark to really get things back up and running to how they were?
Yeah, I mean, when you do that, you shut the program down, it's killer, because you're essentially starting – you're not – you're literally starting from scratch because all your players have transferred. Honestly, I'm surprised they've been as good as they are. I know they haven't played necessarily the gauntlet of opponents, but they're 2-1 this year. I think Spencer Brown's a really good running back. I think they've got some players. I think – I don't know, if they can build that culture of trying to get guys in there and saying, hey, you basically have a chance to get in on the ground floor of this and you'll be remembered in UAB history as one of the guys that brought this program back, I think that's a pretty good recruiting tool. I'd say they're at least 3 or 4 years away from being competitive and contending, but I think that what they've done with starting from absolutely nothing is really remarkable this year.
Austin, when you look at Louisiana Tech, obviously they picked up a big road victory at Western Kentucky. Going forward, UTSA comes to Ruston, Southern Miss comes to Ruston, North Texas comes to Ruston. Us at Bleed Tech Blue obviously believe that the Western Division goes through Ruston, Louisiana. Your thoughts on the Western Division of Conference USA?
I definitely would agree with you that it does. Road to the championship does go through Ruston. Tech's biggest concern this year, I don't think it's any secret, it's been their rush defense. It's been pretty poor, especially got highlighted against Mississippi State. But they have some time. They don't really play another team that can run it until they get to, I think in a four-week span, they have Southern Miss, North Texas, and FAU who are all going to try to run it down their throats. UTSA is very good. I mean, Dalton Stern is... He's 34-42 this year, which to do that against air is impressive, much less against legitimate teams. Definitely something to keep an eye on. The team that I think a lot of people aren't necessarily sleeping on but not talking about, Southern Miss, Ito Smith exploded last week, had a great game. I think Quandre Griggs is good enough to carry this team. He doesn't turn the ball over, but I think Southern Miss is probably the most legitimate threat to Louisiana Tech to win the West. So, yeah, I would say that it's about time to talk to your kids about Southern Miss because they are dangerous this year.
Absolutely, Austin. We thank you for coming on tonight to talk a little Conference USA football. How can our listeners follow you online?
You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Austin O. Brown. O is in the letter. Follow up on Mid-Major Madness at mid_madness. Once it gets closer to hoop season, we'll be cranking some stuff out. I'm actually covering CUSA this year, so I'll probably be talking to y'all quite a bit. But, yeah, looking forward to the rest of the season. I think it could be a good year for Tech.
Absolutely, Austin. We thank you for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Ben.
That's Austin Brown from contributor to SB Nation, Mid-Major Madness. Certainly... some good stuff on Conference USA. I don't think, you know, we kind of downed Western Kentucky maybe a little more than we should have. I think they're certainly probably the second best team. I think Tech's the best team right now. Your thoughts?
I think we're just excited to have beaten them. And, I mean, they're conference champions, whether they're a different team this year or not. I mean, I know we beat them at home last year, but it's still like Tech's excited, so.
Yeah, Tech is really excited. Tech defeats Western Kentucky 23-22. We're going to get to a break. As always, you can call or text us on the Fairway Carts hotline at 1-888-993-7762. After the break, we'll take a full look at the Bulldogs' 23-22 victory over Western Kentucky. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
I want my seafood grilled and my burgers lean, like that Cajun flavor on my onion rings. I like some fries and slaw, catfish fillets, down home cooking from Scotts today. I like to hit the drive-thru when I can't stay for gumbo, seafood, or etouffee. I want my oysters fried, hush puppies just right.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Ruston, West Monroe.
Ram Power Days are here at Brennan Dodge. During Ram Power Days, we have 0% financing and great deals on all Ram trucks. Get a 17 Ram 1500 Quad Cab Express for only $28.9. A 17 Ram 1500 Crew Bighorn is $9,500 off MSRP. Plus, with $1,500 in trade assistance, you'll save $11,000 off MSRP. Save $10,000 off MSRP on 17 Ram 2500 Crew Laramie. We still have great selection on 17 models to choose from, so don't miss Ram Power Days going on now at Brennan Dodge.
Can you believe hunting season's here? Are you ready? You will be when you call Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales for a custom-built hunting camp or deer stand. Ideal builds to your specs, designed exactly like you want it built. And Ideal always delivers the best price and best quality. Whenever you need to haul it, cover it, or store it, you need Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle, joined in studio by my co-host, Beck Haynes. Louisiana Tech, winners over Western Kentucky, 23-22. Conference USA play is off on the right foot. We've talked a lot about it this week, only 2 days in, but Tech really seems to be in the driver's seat to potentially, it's a little premature to say this, to potentially host a Conference USA championship in Ruston in December. From your perspective as a fan, what would that mean for a Tech fan base if they did end up hosting a Conference USA championship?
Oh, I mean, no doubt it would be huge. And I think it would, I mean, just the feel in Ruston the past year or two since the upgrades to the facility and just the general atmosphere of game day, they're doing some stuff downtown. It's just, it's changed and it's exciting. And I mean, honestly, a regular Saturday game day feels like what I would have thought a conference championship hosting would have felt like. And so I think as a, you know, as a fan, I think I would love that. I mean, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be incredible. Looking at Western Kentucky, I know we talked a little bit about it in the first segment. It was an interesting game. Nonetheless, obviously, came down to a game-winning field goal from Jonathan Barnes. Tech was slow out of the gate. Western Kentucky really established a nice, I think it was like a nine-play drive to get the game going. Tech did a good job at really shutting Western Kentucky down. I think it was like a fourth and three where that middle of the defensive line got a good push. And it really, you know, granted it wasn't the greatest defensive possession. You were on the field for nine plays, but it really prevented Western Kentucky from getting points early and putting Tech in a hole. And that was one thing that had to be satisfying for defensive coordinator Blake Baker. It had to be a bit of a relief for Coach Skip Holtz. I know he mentioned today in his weekly press conference how great Jamar Smith did at keeping his composure throughout the game. You know, there wasn't a lot of, you know, big chunk plays early on, and he really took care of business. Holt said he threw the ball 39 times. I think he said he might have had a bad read on 5 to 8 plays. I think last week against Mississippi State, it was like 7 or 8 plays on 23 throws. So, you know, the more Jamar matures, obviously the better quarterback he's going to be. I don't think there's any doubt he's going to be that all-conference, that 4,000 total yards, 35-40 touchdowns before he leaves Tech. But it's been a slow start out of the gate. Your thoughts on Jamar to this point?
Well, like I had said earlier, I'm excited to see the deep ball come back. And I've never been a Division I quarterback. I mean, I was for a week in Pee Wee football, but I can just imagine. Yeah, you'd be surprised, but I could just imagine that completing a deep ball like that when it hasn't worked in the first two games just gave him some confidence of like, this is my offense, like I can do this, and to have, you know, for Holtz to trust him and have the faith in him to let it fly, I think that's huge. And I mean, that's just my perspective.
Yeah, it was really big for his confidence. Rewinding a little bit, I know I kind of got a little bit ahead of myself, but after Tech stopped Western Kentucky on downs, Tech had a quick three and out offensively. Not the most encouraging possession. Western Kentucky gets the ball back, and quite frankly, they're playing like a team with some desperation. They pulled out three trick plays. They drove the field 11 plays, 80 yards. Took them 4 minutes, 35 seconds. And then what do you know? They run the swinging gate on the extra point, convert the two-point conversion. It's 8-0. I know I'm sitting in my house saying, uh-oh, Tech better get things together in a hurry. You don't want to fall behind too quickly.
Right, and I'm not too keen on the psychological aspect of football, but to go for two on the first touchdown, I mean, that's a shot, you know? And hey, we're still the team that won the conference championship. You beat us at home last year. Here's a little taste of this. I don't know, but I had the same thought, Ben. I was a little worried and thinking this could be a repeat, especially not being at home. That's just scary a little bit.
Yeah, and Tech took that punch from Western Kentucky. Tech was able to, you know, that next drive, Tech got the ball back. They 11 plays, 46 yards, got a little bit of a rhythm offensively. When you look at Jared Kraft, Boston Scott, I don't think it's any secret.
Who is our guy?
To me, in my opinion, it's more of a two-headed monster at running back. I don't think you're going to see Jared Kraft get 25 carries or Boston Scott get 25 carries. I think it's, you know, it all goes back to the old fantasy football adage. You don't want a running back who splits carries, but splitting carries is in the best interest of the team.
Right, and that's, I mean, I get that, but I mean, I'm watching and, you know, I'm trying to keep up with who's out there. Now, Boston, he's explosive and he's quick and he's fast and he's powerful too. But then Jared Kraft just – he's got the look, you know.
Jared Kraft's Mr. Consistent.
He is, absolutely. And so I've been wondering, like, who's going to step up and be our playmaker. And, you know, Boston did that a little bit in the first game against Northwestern. And Jared Kraft's done a great job too. So, like you said, it's a two-headed monster. And, I mean, I catch myself wanting to see one of them move into that main spot. But, I mean – you know, they don't have to. If we're 1-2 punching them, that's great.
Yeah, and Boston Scott said today there in the press conference, he views himself as well as he has to go out and do his job.
Right, and nor does he care. I mean, he is a selfless guy. He wants Tech to win more than anything. He's not looking to have the most carries, and so he's the type of guy you want on the team for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Tech was able to drive down, get a field goal, make it 8-3. You know, shift a little bit of the momentum back to their side. Before Western Kentucky gets the ball back towards the end of the first quarter. They went 73 yards in 10 plays, 3 minutes, 39 seconds, capped off by Quentin Baker, 3-yard touchdown run. We hadn't seen a whole lot of Baker throughout the first 2 weeks. Starting running back DeAndre Furby was out for Western Kentucky. That was a drive I really felt like, you know, when it came to passing the ball, Western Kentucky was more dink and dunk. They weren't really looking to throw the ball down the field, but nonetheless, they got the job back, got the job done. The next two possessions, the two teams traded punts before, like you mentioned earlier, Tech with a quick two-play 90-yard drive, capped off by an 87-yard touchdown by Rashid Bonnet. I think that was in the middle of the second quarter. Really gave Jamar a lot of confidence. I know we talked about that, but you know, it wasn't the greatest throw in the world, but I think just seeing Bonnet come down with the ball, take it to the house, that was all it took.
I mean, he made that throw look good. I mean, because he got open, or he made the play on the ball and ran it. It was a little bit of a flashback of seeing a Henderson or a Quentin Patton. I mean, that was what they did. You know, it wasn't always the best throw, but they good receivers come down with the ball no matter what. And he yards after catch was great. And that, like I said, just really encouraging to see that, because I have been looking for that the first two games and didn't see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Then the two teams continued to kind of trade punt. They traded two punts after that. Tech gets the ball back with 4 minutes to go in the first half. They put together a nice drive. You know, it was really capped off by – it was obviously capped off after 12 plays, 67 yards by – I believe it was a 36-yard field goal by Jonathan Barnes. Gave Tech a lot of momentum headed into the half.
What do you think is Barnes's range? I mean, what is he – if we need to stretch him, where can we go? Otherwise, what can we count on?
On a night when his leg's feeling good, I know we saw him against, I think it was Northwestern State. He attempted a 52-yard field goal that he missed a little to the left. Looked like he had plenty of leg. I'd say 55, 56 yards.
To stretch him?
Yeah, and that's a strong leg, especially collegiately. But, yeah, Tech headed into the half 15-13. I know I was talking with a couple of friends of mine, and, you know, Tech received the opening kickoff of the second half. I thought it would be huge for the offense to at least go down, get some points. They were unable to do so. They picked up one first down, ended up punting. And then you look at Western Kentucky, they come back. You think they're going for that gut punch to kind of truly put Tech away, but they just couldn't quite do it. They drive 12 plays, 53 yards, 5 minutes, and miss a 30-yard field goal wide right, which was, you know, a huge win for the Tech defense in a pivotal moment in that game. Then you look two possessions later, Western Kentucky drives down the field, 8 plays, 78 yards. Mike White looked like a little bit of vintage Mike White. I know we'll get to that in a sec, but, you know, they really ran the ball against Tech, too, that drive. I know they kept running left, right at Jalen Ferguson, really dominated the line of scrimmage, capped off by Ja'Kari Moses, 19-yard touchdown. I know we're kind of going through this fast. We're a little short on time. But your thoughts on that drive by Western Kentucky that put them up by 9?
Right, and that was late in the third quarter, too, so that was a little bit deflating. Of just, you know, it felt like it was slipping away through our fingers, through Tech's fingers a little bit. And so, I mean, that's a grueling drive. I mean, that takes, you know, it took 3 minutes, 42 seconds. I mean, that's not too long, but 8 plays, 78 yards. I mean, you know, they're just punching you over and over. So I was a little discouraged, and going into the fourth quarter, it was, you know, it was nerve-wracking and wondering if this game was slipping out of our hands. And so for Tech to come back like they did in the fourth quarter, it was exciting.
It was certainly nice to see. Both teams didn't do a whole lot offensively until midway point in the fourth quarter. Tech was able to put together an 8-play, 91-yard drive, capped off by a 2-yard touchdown run by Cam McKnight. He's a freight train back there in the backfield. I think he has 9 career touchdowns on 18 carries. Tech runs that T formation so well. It really sets up their power run game pretty effectively.
Yeah, and it was good to see Cam get back into the mix of things, too. I mean, he's good on the goal line right there, and I was happy to see him make some plays.
Fast forward, 4:20 to go in the game. Tech gets the ball back, trailing by 2, 22-20. I'm kind of sitting in my house really thinking that Tech has an opportunity to put this game away, a little 4-minute offense, maybe punch a touchdown in, go for 2, have a lead by 6. Jamar Smith goes to the well one too many times. Western Kentucky defensive back Joe Brown makes a great play on the ball for the interception with 4:20 to go in the ball game. Your thoughts on just that sequence of plays?
I thought it was over after that. I thought we were done. I thought that was a Tech thing to do, get close and then not be able to do it.
Yeah, and I know Coach Holtz mentioned today in his press conference, he said one thing that impressed him the most is when Jamar came off the field, he was kind of just, you know, he wasn't going to jump on a young quarterback. He was making his fourth career start. He really wanted to point out to him, you know, hey, take that ball in the flat. Take that ball to Cam McKnight in the flat. Pick up another first down. Keep the chains moving. It's just one of those things. It's a growing pain that you'll go through with a young quarterback, but I think Smith will learn from it. As we've mentioned a billion times at Bleed Tech Blue, he's clearly very talented. He's making a few mental mistakes early on, but once he gets out of his own way, he's going to be a good one. Western Kentucky gets the ball back, quick 3-and-out, highlighted by maybe probably the biggest play of the year to this point. Jalen Ferguson sacks Mike White for his 2nd sack of the game. That's the kind of things that all Americans do with the game on the line.
Big plays at big times.
Absolutely. Tech gets the ball back, 1:53 remaining in the game. Coach Holtz, he mentioned a lot about this in his press conference. He was, you know, telling the offense, hurry up. We got to get things going. But the offense was calm, cool, collected. You know, they told him, Coach, we do this every day in practice. We got this taken care of. That final drive, I know one play was a big third down catch, I think, by Marlon Watts. Watts had 2 big catches on the night. Actually, I don't. That might not have been on that drive, but just pointing out Marlon Watts, he played well the other night. You know, this drive, I'm not going to say it's the turning point in Tech's season, but I think you could see this young team, where they drive down the field, get in position for that game winner for Barnes. I think you can really tell that they believe a lot in themselves. So Tech picks up the victory 23-22. A nail-biter against Western Kentucky, one of the bigger wins Tech's had in quite some time. We're going to take a quick timeout. After the break, we'll kind of wrap up our Western Kentucky talk. We'll talk about a few guys that we thought had good nights. We'll preview Western Kentucky, or we'll preview South Carolina. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back in to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. Just to wrap things up with the whole Western Kentucky victory for Louisiana Tech. Beck, your thoughts on the cornerback play Saturday night?
Well, I thought it was great. And we have Amik Robertson on one side, and he's been a star. And he's gotten beat a few times, but he is a true freshman, and so we got grace for that. But just, he got last against Mississippi State, he got beat in the end zone, and then pretty quickly right after that, blocked field goal and ran it back for the 2-point conversion. So that was good to see out of him, and he's a fighter and he's fierce, and he's fun to watch. And then we got Aaron Roberson on the other side, and I like to call him the Rob Bros, just on the corners, just helping us out a little bit. So he's a Shreveport guy, and looking good, and I'm excited to watch him too. And it's been good to see kind of our defense have some fire on the corners.
Yeah, Amik and Aaron are doing a great job. When you have two young corners, especially after Tech struggled so much in 2016 defending the pass, I don't think it's any surprise to see two young guys out there. Amik was highly touted out of high school. Tech beat out Texas and LSU for his services. Aaron Roberson's a guy. I think he had an interception as a true freshman. He ends up redshirting last year in his sophomore season. So it's nice to see those two earn a play-in spot, but really play well.
Right, and especially with Amik, like you said, he was so highly thought of out of high school. I got to believe that, he was told or believed that he would get the start as a true freshman. And so, you know, that's always, as your average fan, that's, you know, something to be looking out for and fun to watch. And, you know, you always want those guys to do well. And he's someone that can contribute for 4 years. And I think they said the last guy to start like that was Xavier Woods. And I think I heard that somewhere. And you know how much we all liked him. And so I'm excited about both those guys. But Amik has really been fun to watch.
He absolutely had. Taking a look ahead, those were two guys that stood out this week. They'll obviously be in for a tall task against SEC foe South Carolina this weekend. South Carolina comes into this game. They're 2-1. They defeated a quality North Carolina State team 35-28 in week one. They defeated on the road at Missouri 31-13 in week two. That was a game I was, you know, really interested in. Obviously, Missouri has been a dumpster fire, but, you know, they have a quality offense. It was interesting to see how the Muschamp defense would fare against Drew Locke, the star quarterback from Missouri, after the Gamecocks had given up over 400 yards through the air in week one. They obviously passed the test with flying colors in a 31-13 victory. Kentucky came to Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina last weekend. Big SEC Network broadcast, 6:30 kickoff. Kind of the game of the week on the SEC Network. And I was reading some post-game comments from Coach Muschamp, and to put it, you know, to put in a simple perspective, he really feels like his team laid an egg. He really thought that they should win that ball game. The fan base was jacked up. You had 82,000 plus inside Williams-Brice Stadium. I know when Sandman gets going inside of there, it's one of the tougher environments to play in front of in college football. South Carolina didn't get the job done. They're now 1-1 in conference play, 2-1 overall. I think when you look at South Carolina from an offensive perspective, obviously the key guy in their offense, like we mentioned earlier, Debo Samuel's out this weekend. You never like to see a guy get hurt, but quite frankly, Tech catches a big break.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt us. And you know, my question, Ben, is, you know, for them to get beat the way they did last week, does that mindset fare well for Tech? Is it kind of like a, you know, they're defeated, we can kick them while they're down, or is that like a chip on their shoulder? This is La Tech coming in, we're going to whoop up on them. What, I mean, I know you can't get in the mind of South Carolina, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, and that's a question we'll have for Chris Clark at 7:15. It's an interesting perspective to think about. South Carolina takes a step out of SEC play this weekend to play Louisiana Tech. A 2:30 kickoff. I don't think you'll see 82,000 inside of Williams-Brice Stadium. The Gamecocks go on the road at Texas A&M next week. Are they looking ahead? Are they not? Who knows? You know, I think if they have anything like their, you know, like their coach, if they carry that mindset, you know, they're going to be ready to play. They have a good sophomore quarterback in Jake Bentley. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, along with Nit Fitzgerald. He'll definitely present a huge task. We'll go to the Fairway Carts hotline. We're joined by Rafe. How you doing tonight, Rafe?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. What you got on your mind tonight?
Well, I mean, what's on my mind is, I don't know if this is true for the team, but for the fans, that was a season-defining victory. Because if you lose that game and then you go on and you know, lose at South Carolina, you're on a three-game losing streak, there's just not a lot of – it's a big hole to get out of. But now it seems like, you know, we can play loose at South Carolina. You know, win or lose, we're going to be okay. I think we can win the game, but we don't have to win the game. So from a fan's perspective, it seems like that brought more energy and life and hope to the season, even though it's early, than anything else. I mean, because to me, even those mid-year streaks don't really count as much or build as much collateral as the early season big wins. And this was truly a big win. We hadn't had one early in the season like this in a while.
Oh, yeah, I think you make a great point. When you look back last week against Mississippi State, you know, you had some of the fan base calling for Jamar Smith to maybe be put on the bench. He had, you know, five or six turnovers in the first 2 weeks. But, yeah, I think this could potentially be a season-defining win. Like you mentioned, it was a huge victory, especially conference implications going forward. And like you said, this weekend when they travel to South Carolina, there's not going to be a whole lot of, you know, worry about this game. Just kind of go out there, play your game, whatever happens, roll the ball out, and let's see who's a better football team.
Exactly, and we can play with them. You know, I could see a scenario in us, with us winning the game. You know, I think that we're physical and talented enough to play with them, but, you know, there's a bunch of different things that have to go our way for us to win the game, and some of that we can dictate, and some of it, quite frankly, we can't. They'll have to be, you know, give us some things, but either way, I expect it to be a competitive game. I think that we're going to grow as a team, show more wrinkles this week and let some things loose that probably haven't seen yet, and then be right in perfect position for this next home streak coming up.
I absolutely agree with you, Rafe. We thank you for your call tonight. We thank you for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. As always, you can call us, text us on the Fairway Carts hotline at 1-888-993-7762. Tech has a great opportunity this weekend to go to Western Kentucky, to go to South Carolina, upset a quality SEC team on the road. Just before Rafe called, I was wanting to get a little bit into sophomore quarterback for the Gamecocks, Jake Bentley. He's now got 10 starts under his belt, 6-4 as a starter. One of the most highly touted quarterbacks coming out of high school. He's still young. He's just a 19-year-old sophomore, graduated high school a year early. Should just be a true freshman. I'm interested to hear Chris Clark's take at 7:15 to see if he thinks the sophomore quarterback has progressed like much of Gamecock Nation was anticipating. If Tech has one advantage, I think it's going to be on the defensive line. South Carolina does return four starters up front, but they've struggled to run the football. Much like Western Kentucky, I expect South Carolina to come into this ball game, look to, you know, run it right at that Tech front four, see what they can do, try to set up some play action pass, try to throw the ball down the field to Brian Edwards, who, you know, he's a big 6'3" sophomore receiver. I think he'll kind of take over that lead receiver role that Samuel leaves behind. Hayden Hurst is a tight end. He's had 8 catches for 106 yards on the year. We know Tech linebackers, Tech safeties, they've struggled in coverage with tight ends over the middle. So it'll be interesting to see if Tech can really cause their offense some problems. If we know one thing about a Will Muschamp offense, is that they're going to be offensively challenged, much of the same has been in 2017, averaging just 321 yards per game. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back after the break, we'll have former Louisiana Tech quarterback Luke McCown joining us. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud Tech supporter for over 60 years. When the Bulldogs hit the field this weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics. Plus, all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service Superstores, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe. Or visit walpoletire.com.
The iconic Jeep brand is celebrating with great deals on every Jeep model. Get a 17 Jeep Renegade Sport for only $17.9. A 17 Jeep Renegade Latitude is only $19.9. A 17 Jeep Cherokee Latitude is only $20,009. A 17 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited is only $34.9. And a 17 Jeep Grand Cherokee Overland is $6,000 off MSRP. Jeep celebration days are coming to a close, so hurry in for the best deals on your next Jeep at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Can you believe hunting season's here? Are you ready? You will be when you call Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales for a custom-built hunting camp or deer stand. Ideal builds to your specs, designed exactly like you want it built. And Ideal always delivers the best price and best quality. Whenever you need to haul it, cover it, or store it, you need Ideal Portable Buildings and Trailer Sales. 699-9426. 699-9426.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoked cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Ruston Monroe, ESPN 97.7.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Car Top Line, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. We are now joined on the Fairway Carts Hotline by former Louisiana Tech quarterback, 13-year NFL veteran Luke McCown. How are you doing tonight, Luke?
Hey, Ben. I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Thanks for coming on. I know you're back in town for the Tech-Mississippi State game. I know it has to be cool just to be able to get back to Ruston where you played your college football and see the growth of this community.
Yeah, certainly. When there's a community like that that invested so much into your life and a campus and a university that invested so much into your life for the better part of really 3.5 years, then it's always fun to go back and be a part of it and see how it's changed, how it's grown, how it's gotten better and developed. And what's fun for me is being able to bring my children, bring my boys, bring my girls, and let them get a feel for how special a place Ruston is.
Right. Luke, you kind of touched on that, but looking back to your time at Tech, I mean, is there anything that sticks out to you that you remember the most that was really impactful, whether it was coaches or teammates or the community? What was it that really, that you were drawn to about Ruston?
Yeah, for me, it was just how welcoming it was. I'm a small town East Texas country boy, and it immediately felt like home. And there was never an element for me of homesick or feeling out of place or whatever. It was just so welcoming and so familiar. Just as soon as I got there, it just seemed like home. And so that was probably what sticks out the most, and again, what I enjoy, bringing my kids back to is just that atmosphere and that feeling of how special Ruston is in making you feel welcome as an athlete, certainly, but just as a member of the community, as a member of the university, and how simple of a transition that was.
And Luke, looking at that 2001 WAC championship that you and the Bulldogs won in Tech's first year in the Western Athletic Conference, what was it like winning that conference championship in a year where I think y'all are picked to finish last in the conference?
Yeah, it was fun. We were picked to finish last, being the newcomers of the conference, and being 3-9 the year before. Nobody really had any expectations for, what we were, what we were about. But we had some special players, left on that team. And honestly, probably would have been even better had we not had a couple of injuries. But we had some special players on that team, guys like, Dylan Day and John Simon. That couple of guys that still had years left and plenty left in the tank to play. DJ Curry came on really big that year and was a special player for us. So we just had a lot of guys that nobody really knew that much about, but when the lights came on and it
you know, got down to business, man, they were about winning, and they were a tremendous help for me, certainly. And that year was a lot of fun, and just how it played out in the big games, and you know, losing. We lost to Fresno in a close game out there, and then we have Boise at home, and we beat them essentially for the WAC championship. And
didn't the goalposts come down that night?
They sure did. Yeah, they came down that night. And so, just a neat time, a neat experience, certainly for me, but just in Texas history, you know, in the first time we'd been a part of a conference in a while, and being able to win that was special.
Yeah, Luke, you touched on it, but that seems to be a trend with having a couple players that really, you know, that come alive and do well for us. And with that, the success that Skip Holtz has had with the Bulldogs the last 3 years and the growth of the university as a whole, from your point of view, is Louisiana Tech a sleeping giant that could develop into like a Boise State or a Houston type of program in terms of success on the football field?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there's a couple of factors that go into that, right? It's geographics, where you're located, and the talent pool that surrounds you. And, you know, what Boise gets left over are, or at the time got were the leftovers from the Pac-10, right? The guys that weren't quite good enough to go to USC or to Oregon or something like that. And at that time, they were they either went to those bigger programs and transferred out, or they were just on the cusp and wanted to have an opportunity to play more, and so they would go to Boise. Well, I think the same holds true for where we're at in Tech. I think that our location, really between some Big 12 schools, some SEC schools, gives us and the talent pool that is, you know, the Little Rock, the Dallas, the Houston, the Baton Rouge, the New Orleans. We're surrounded by, and everywhere in between, honestly, the small towns of East Texas and Northeast and Northwest Louisiana provide a lot of talent, a lot of opportunities for some really good players that are maybe just on the cusp of going to an LSU but aren't going to quite make it and want to have or maybe they're going to go and be a backup for a little while before they get a chance to play, and they want an opportunity to play right away. That's what Tech affords you. And because you have that, when you match that up, and you'll say, well, they're still not quite the talent of a major program. Yeah, maybe not. But when you match that up with a great scheming coach, like on offense in a Tim Rattay or a Skip Holt, they develop the strengths of those marginal talents, if you will, or just kind of right on the cusp of a bigger program talent, then you can really do some damage in a conference like Conference USA. And so, yeah, I think that we could be seen as that as we build. You know, certainly, you know, having the opportunities to have SEC schools like Mississippi State come in our house and play gives us a platform to invite bigger schools to come in and play us. And just having that opportunity, you never know when we're going to slip up on one and have a you know, a trend start, kind of like a Fresno did in the early 2000s, or a Boise did there for several years in the mid 2000s. So I don't see why we couldn't.
And Luke, looking at your NFL career, you've obviously carved out a nice career. You've had the opportunity to play behind Drew Brees, you know, an obvious first ballot Hall of Famer. You've played behind Matt Ryan before that. What's it like kind of playing behind those guys, helping those guys prepare each week?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I've been a football player for 23 years of my life, but I've been a football fan my whole life. And so being around and I'm a fan of guys that are – of people that are extremely talented at what they do. And being around Matt, being around Drew, the opportunities to be around a lot of guys, and not just quarterbacks, but I played with Torrey Holt for a year in Jacksonville, Maurice Jones-Drew, Joey Galloway in Tampa. I played with a lot of Julio Jones, Marcus Colston, guys that Jimmy Graham, extremely talented guys, and when you're around them, and again, their abilities to match their talent with their work ethic and with their competitive drive and their desire to not just be talented but be great is really cool to be around on a daily basis. And specifically with Matt and Drew, people don't see the hours that they put in. I've never seen a guy look at one play over the course of a week to try and get an edge like Drew does. He is the ultimate student of the game, and he knows it inside and out. And so it's fun to be around a guy like that because you see what makes him great. And now he's not the most physically gifted, but the gifts that he has, like his accuracy, are elite. And more than elite, really. And it's just fun to be around because you never know. I mean, literally, it's every day in practice he's going to do something or make a throw that you go, wow, there's only one man on the planet that could have made that throw. And so it's fun because you kind of feel like, it's kind of like I assume people that reach the top of Everest and they go, well, nobody else in the world is seeing this right now. And it's kind of the same way. You're practicing, you go, wow, nobody else in the world got to see what I just got to see. And I got to see it for years. And so it was a lot of fun being with Drew, being with Matt, and being around those guys and experiencing why they're great, let alone just their great people and the friendships that we've developed that'll last a lifetime.
That's great, Luke. Hey, we really, really, really appreciate your time and you carving out. We know you're with the family, and that means a lot to us. And just from a fan perspective, it means a lot to Tech to see you come back and come to the games, and we see you at basketball games. And I know that you're contributing to this university, and man, we just really, really appreciate that. And we love to see you come back, and we hope you do a lot more in the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait.
All righty, Luke, have a good one. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
Luke McCown, former Louisiana Tech quarterback, joining us on the Fairway Carts Hotline. We're going to take a quick timeout. On the other side of the break, we'll be joined by Chris Clark of GamecockCentral.com, previewing Louisiana Tech, South Carolina. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
I want my seafood grilled and my burgers lean, like that Cajun flavor on my onion rings. I like some fries and slaw, catfish fillets, down home cooking from Scotts today. I like to hit the drive-thru when I can't stay for gumbo, seafood, or etouffee. I want my oysters fried, hush puppies just right. Down home cooking from Scotts tonight.
Scotts Catfish and Seafood, Ruston, West Monroe.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters round here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy buggy now wrapped up in a new name. Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm your host, Ben Carlisle. We are now joined by GamecockCentral.com, Chris Clark, on the Fairway Carts hotline. How are you doing tonight, Chris?
Doing well, Ben. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for joining us tonight. You look at this South Carolina football team, year two in the Will Muschamp era. Obviously, last year they took a huge step forward, getting back to a bowl game. Had a solid start so far this year. What's really the fan base in Columbia's thoughts on what Coach Muschamp and his staff have done to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a couple ways to look at it. You got sort of the general big picture view, and then you've got the view in which people make a lot of prognostications after one game. And so what I mean by that is, you know, people were generally happy and understood where the program was at and understood the progress made last season. There were certainly some low points of the season, you know, losing 56-7 to your in-state rival and, you know, losing some games that seemed winnable. But overall, the progress is pretty evident. This year, you know, you have a challenging opener in NC State, and you got to go on the road, you know, to Missouri. And so they won those two games. They could have started out 0-1 or, you know, whatever it may be. And so they got off to a good start. Now it's shifted more to a lot of disappointment, dropping a game against the Kentucky team that's now beaten South Carolina four times in a row. And first home game, you know, big atmosphere, a lot of build up, and then they sort of really fell flat and just didn't play a very good football game. So I think a couple different ways to look at it. Right now there's a lot of disappointment just because of that game. But the big picture view with what's being done is I think a lot of people are still hopeful, and frankly, they're glad to have a head coach, you know, so involved in recruiting and so hands-on with the football program.
And I'm sure a lot of the talk in Columbia outside of the loss to Kentucky is obviously about, you know, maybe obviously the most explosive playmaker that South Carolina has in Debo Samuel going down with an injury. Just how big of a blow is this for the Gamecock program?
Well, you know, we're going to find out. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but just even on paper, it is a significant loss. I mean, going into the Kentucky game, he's the only FBS player in the country that had, you know, multiple kickoff return touchdowns and receiving touchdowns. You know, when you look at the NC State and the Missouri game, he had two chances on kickoffs, and he housed both of them on really similar-looking plays. And then, you know, he scored a rushing touchdown. He scored multiple receiving touchdowns. He is a guy that had taken the next step as a football player. And so it was really, you know, you feel for him as a person with how well he was doing, upping his stock, really helping out his team. And now he's out a while. So it's a significant loss. I mean, South Carolina has some young guys and some other guys on the team that, you know, are capable. But we're talking about a guy who's one of the best in the conference and one of the best in the country. And so it's not just losing a starter, losing a rotation player, it's losing, you know, a bona fide star. And so, look, even with him in the lineup, most of the game at Kentucky, not all of it, but a good part of the game at Kentucky, they struggled. And so they're going to face some good defenses this year, and it's, you know, it's going to become more of a challenge for them until he gets back. If he does get back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hopefully he can get back. Looking at the quarterback position, sophomore Jake Bentley, highly touted recruit out of high school. I know I saw he graduated a year early. He's a young 19-year-old sophomore. How has he really progressed in year two in Kurt Roper's system? He's obviously very talented. Is he living up to those expectations in year two?
You know, I think it, fans and media alike, we're all guilty of it. I think sometimes set expectations too high on certain guys. There was a lot of buzz about Jake Bentley. He's a really talented kid. obviously, and he showed what he could do last season. You know, I think he's made some really big plays this season. You look at that NC State game, he was huge in that game with some of the scrambles he made. The scramble and touchdown pass to Debo Samuel in that game, a 39-yarder, was a great individual effort by him and Samuel. And so that said, against Missouri, you know, he's a little off rhythm. He missed some throws that he's more than capable of hitting, normally does hit. And then Kentucky, it was the same kind of deal. You know, he was just off on some more sort of intermediate, you know, 10 to 15-yard throws that he normally hits. And so a lot of folks around here have been asking, well, what's wrong? And I really don't know if there's anything wrong other than maybe he just, you know, you just missed some throws sometimes. Maybe he's pressing a little. It's hard to really tell. So there has been some inconsistency. But then you step back and you say, okay, this is a kid who, as you pointed out, has been sort of talked about a lot. But this is a kid who is, you know, he's a 17-year-old guy when he got to college. He skipped a year of high school, so he's a really young guy. Then he didn't even play until midway through the season last year, all right? And now he starts in year two as a sophomore and is getting a lot of buzz, but you got to remember he played about 10 games in his career. So he's not like a seasoned fifth-year senior with talent. So he's still coming along. Certainly his command of the offense is better. He's shown what he can do making some plays. And he did, even with some of the, he honestly did have some struggles throwing the ball at times against Kentucky, but then you look at that game and he completed, I think, 16 straight passes at one juncture of that game. So, just about being a little more consistent, but I think when guys are that good, that talented, sometimes we put them under the microscope even a little bit more.
Looking at the defensive side of the football, it's no secret Will Muschamp is a mastermind when it comes to the defensive side. 2013, 2014, 2015 leading tackler Sky Moore returns at linebacker after missing all of 2016 with an injury. How's that side of the football looked throughout three games?
Yeah, I mean, the defense, I think the best way you can put it is it's passed the eyeball test a lot more this year. Now you go, well, that sounds sort of silly. You know, it's about points. And that is true. But I think sometimes with points, you got to look at situational football. For example, I mean, Kentucky in the last game, they scored 23 points. And a lot of times the offense wasn't moving the ball. You know, really the offense is the side of the ball that you'd really peg for that loss. Offense and then special teams as they missed several, you know, field goal opportunities. They did turn it over some, but, you know, they haven't been great on that side of the ball, but I don't think anybody expected that. What they did expect was some level of improvement. If you look at Will Muschamp's track record, everywhere he's been as a defensive coordinator or head coach, statistically his defense has got better in year two. And so I think we'll see that once these 12 or 13 games play out at the end of this season, that it will be better. They're getting off blocks better. Getting Sky Moore back was big. They've improved some in terms of the secondary, just getting some guys have stepped forward and just become better players. They still have issues rushing the passer. They're still not going to be a great run-stopping team. You know, they're still not deep. I mean, they came into this season with their three scholarship linebackers were the only scholarship guys who played a down of football at all, and they're still thin in the secondary. And so they've avoided injuries for the most part, which is a positive, and they're going to have to continue to do that. So they're better. I think we still have sort of a limited sample size. There's still going to be a unit that's going to have to be opportunistic. They're going to give up some yards, and they're going to have to tighten up in the red zone. But it is a group that has improved in year two from what we've seen.
And your keys to the game and your prediction for Saturday afternoon?
For me, the keys to the game for South Carolina, and, you know, I go back to, you look at the Kentucky game, and that's the game that they are favored to win, really. I think when you look at that game, it's one that they should have won. So you go, okay, why did they lose that football game? And when you look at it, they didn't convert third downs, some of which are very manageable, and that goes back to running the football. So they got to run the football better. They turned it over too many times. They had special teams miscues in terms of missing field goals, and part of that goes back to, you know, just playing better on your opponent's side of the field. And then they were very, very poor getting off the field on third down against Kentucky, whether it was some uncharacteristic penalties, leaving some guys open, giving them third and shorts that Kentucky was able to convert. There's just a lot of different things. There's not one area you could point to. So for me, it's being much better on third down, both sides of the ball, and then just playing a much cleaner game. They played a very sloppy game against Kentucky, and I think most people, you know, would favor South Carolina in this football game, just on paper, especially at home. That said, anybody can present you with some issues, especially a team that, you know, can present you with some challenges offensively like Louisiana Tech if you play a very sloppy game. So I think it's just about playing cleaner and cleaning up a lot of those things they did against Kentucky. So I'd pick South Carolina in, you know, a fairly close, actually, game, you know, one or two score game. But that would be my pick as of now.
Well, we thank you for joining us tonight, Chris. We appreciate all your insight you provided on the South Carolina Gamecocks, and we're looking to a fun afternoon in Columbia Saturday afternoon.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Anytime. Have a good one. Chris Cart, GamecockCentral.com. He has the Gamecocks in a close one, one or two score game. John Tabor, your prediction for Saturday afternoon in Columbia.
I was negative last week, and we won, so I'm going to stay negative again this week. Thinking probably something like 27-17 South Carolina.
You got it, John Tabor, 27-17 South Carolina. Beck, first your hot take, and then your prediction.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I feel like going in to play an SEC school, people think we're going to lose. And so my hot take is that it's not a hot take that we're going to win.
Absolutely. You heard it from the average fan himself. Louisiana Tech, South Carolina, Saturday afternoon, 2:30 p.m. kickoff, SEC Network. I said before the season, Louisiana Tech goes 11-1. A lot have said that I predicted Tech to also win the national championship. I'm not changing my predictions to this point. I say Tech goes into Columbia, pulls out a squeaker, 23-20. Jonathan Barnes with another game winner for the Dogs. It's been a fun one tonight. We'll be back next week, same place, same time, as we recap South Carolina. We'll preview South Alabama. You've been listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Building, Brister Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.